If you're talking about it,
are you for the criminals or are you for the law-abiding Americans? That's a simple question.
We're talking about it.
If they'll just do what they were voted in to do.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho. 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning, KBOI News Time is 8:39. Special guest in the Sandler Training Studio this morning, Ada County Commissioner Rick Izaguirre.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good, sir. Nice to be here.
All right. Despite the weather, looks like we're going to open the river, huh?
Well, not in the short term. It looks like the goal, hopefully, optimistically speaking, is going to be around the 4th of July.
Is that late, Rick? Is that
It is. I think within the last 10, 12 years, the latest point has been right around the 4th of July, from what I recollect. You know, obviously the weather's been miserable the last couple of days, but every time it starts to warm up a little bit, there's a lot of interest in getting into the river. And our message, you've heard it over and over and over from all the different local government agencies involved, that you need to stay out of the river till you get the clear from Ada County and what we call the Boise River Debris Sweep Team, made up of Ada County, Parks and Rec, Boise Police. They all get together. Float it, you know, get in their boats and check it out and remove all the debris and everything that could cause you to hang up as you float down the river. But the key thing is the amount of water that's coming down needs to be reduced.
I had a friend several years ago. He and his wife went down in a rubber raft, and the raft hit an abutment on the bridge and stuck. It just wrapped around the thing. His wife was swept downstream on one side. He was swept downstream on the other. He thought she was dead for about 25 minutes before they finally found her. And the raft stayed there on that abutment going for about a week and a half.
Yeah. It's not pleasant.
Don't go in the river.
Right. Stay out of the river. An interesting thing that we've come up with this year is a new Facebook page, and it's called Float the Boise River. So if you have any interest, you know, go to our Facebook, check out that information, and it'll tell you when it's safe to get in the river. When the flow's right, the river's clear, have a good experience.
When the concessions are open at Barber Park, then you know.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Now, and if you go down the river, I mean, you can't stop them legally.
No.
From going down the river. But if they go down the river and have to be rescued, it's going to cost them, right?
Yes. Yes.
More than just a little bit.
Well, it gets expensive very quickly when you bring out all those emergency support people to do a rescue. So the thinking is, if you don't follow the rules, you're going to have to pay.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Property assessment and tax exemption appeals. Those are always fun for you guys.
I was
just
going to say, it's the most interesting time of the year for the Board of County Commissioners. Around Memorial Day, the assessor sent out all the assessment notices determining the value of your property in their minds. And you have until the 5 p.m. on June 27th is actually the cutoff date to file. About 190,000 assessments were mailed this year. And like I said, if you don't agree with the assessment, you can call your appraiser, and you look at your assessment form, and in the right-hand corner it identifies a phone number and a contact for the person that's actually working in your neighborhood. And my advice to you is, if you have an issue with your value, that the sooner you call in and make arrangements, have a conversation with that appraiser to make adjustments. If you can't come to a compromise at that point in time, you can file an appeal. And that's that deadline that's coming up on June 27th.
How many of the appeals are on an average okay?
Well, in my experience, you know, this will be my 14th year of doing it. And we've had as many. Last year was a low year. We had, about 650 appeals. At the top of the market, you know, in the late 2000s, we had over 3,000 one year. It was brutal.
What percentage are usually?
Do we overturn?
Granted. Mm-hmm.
Oh, generally we rule with the appraiser. I'd say 15 to 20%. We modify. You know, if you make a case that, you know, some of the improvements weren't initiated in a different time of the year, and we have some movement, it's up to the board to make the change, but generally, the appraisers are very well prepared and have the proper information there. So small percentage change.
If you do happen to have a complaint and you get a hearing or a meeting, that's set in stone. I mean, you don't miss your meeting.
Right. And the interesting thing is, we have a 3-week period to deal with all these appeals. It's set in state law. It's the last Monday in June through the second Monday in July. So whatever that takes, you know, we stack them in there 6 or 8 an hour. And if you were to call a day, there might be an appointment at 9 o'clock on Wednesday.
Right.
And you take that. And, you know, we don't have a lot of flexibility to move things around because people are calling and trying to arrange vacations. And it's just not there. But we're just the next step in the process. If you don't like our decision, you can go on to the Board of Tax Appeals.
Now, if somebody doesn't know how to get started, they can just go to the Ada County website?
Right.
Okay.
Right. Great information on the website. My advice to you is, you know, look at your assessment notice and call that appraiser. And you know, they're interested in hearing your side of the story. And a lot of times they'll work out a compromise so you don't have to go to a hearing.
We're talking with Ada County Commissioner Rick Issaquire. KBOI News Time, 8:45. Speaking on business. Listen each Tuesday and Thursday between 7 and 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. or 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. on KBOI, sponsored by Zions Bank. We haven't forgotten who keeps us in business. Here's Ron.
No late holdups. It's very quiet. I-84 and 184 speeds are good. Away from the freeways overall, got to say it's even been a little better than usual this morning. Other than road construction hangups, a lot of work going on in various places, including closures like Main Street downtown, 8th to Capitol, Black Cat, Meridian, Eustick to McMillan. That goes until the 24th. Big project in Nampa to rebuild 11th Avenue North. It's completely ripped up, shut down. Cherry Lane to Birch Lane, a lot of work going. Completion date on that, not till mid-summer. From the Tom Scott Toyota Studio, right now traffic on 670 KBOI.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time, 8:50. So Idaho Talks Live. Our special guest in studio is Ada County Commissioner Rick Issaquire. Fireworks time will be coming soon, the 4th of July. Any different rules this year? Are they pretty much the same as they usually are in the county?
Yes, sir. Pretty much is what we've done in the past. Obviously, 4th of July is going to be here in a few weeks. And again, the Board of County Commissioners will pass a resolution which actually bans fireworks in unincorporated areas of the county through October 31st for the remainder of the summer.
So pretty much outside city limits.
Yeah. In each of the fire districts, city boundaries, and that sort of thing, they all pass their version of the of a similar fireworks regulation ordinance. So make sure you, again, probably check their websites to determine what you can actually do.
The chance of fire is lessened dramatically by the fact that I won't be here.
You're going to be out of town. Huh?
I'll be out of town. So sorry, everybody in Meridian who's so used to seeing my money go up in the sky.
Now, would it be safe to say that if you can buy something at a regular fireworks stand in your city, that it's probably usable in the city?
I would generally say that's true. Safe and sane.
Unless it's from under the counter or something.
Right. I think there's options depending on where you go. You can buy just about anything anymore.
But I live in the foothills. You can't have anything up there.
No.
Yeah,
no.
Nothing. And even if you buy it at Albertsons.
Yeah, the fire hazard is extreme anymore, and we've got to pay attention to that.
Okay.
You want to burn up the countryside.
The budget, Ada County elected offices and departments currently working on your favorite job, that's the 2017 budget. How's that going? And
right.
How's everybody hanging in there?
Good. You know, it seems like it takes longer and it requires more of our time and gets more complicated and difficult every year as we start the process. Actually, it begins out in February, early March. We send out packets to the departments and they send us their draft budget by the end of April, and then we submit that. Those are all submitted to the clerk auditor recorder's office. Auditors process all that. And then beginning next week on Monday, we actually call in the department heads and elected officials, and they come make presentations about what they're asking for in the next year. And they have criterion standards that they have to follow based on last year's budget. Then they make additional requests, which we call supplemental requests, and we take a look at that.
Do you ever get surprised?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We need $476,000 for this.
Yeah. Well, just the cost of some of the items, the material and equipment that they buy is always, you know, kind of shocks you sometimes. And generally, we give them sort of an open checkbook. You know, once you meet your preliminary budget, again, those supplementals is where you can ask for additional items. And folks kind of get carried away there. But
are there some subjects or some items that come up every single year and are always rejected?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, our big problem right now is, as I see it, you know, looking to the future, is funding major capital projects. Hmm. You know, there was a day where you could set aside $6, $8, $10 million a year and accumulate $20, $30, $40, $50 million or
not
whatever
anymore.
To build a new courthouse or a new jail or a parking garage. And we don't have that capability anymore. I mean, we're running pretty tight, and I don't know how we're going to fund capital projects in the future unless you go to the vote of the people. And we all know those initiatives are kind of hard to pass. So it's going to be a challenge in doing the budget.
And you very seldom raise taxes. Yeah, you know, and the 3% rule kind of stays in effect, right?
Right. We can't do more than 3%. We've taken a 3% the last few years, and we haven't decided exactly where we're going to land this year as with respect to that. But it kind of looks like we might, but, you know, it's early.
Is it similar in Ada County to the way it is in Canyon County, where when people have a problem with any kind of a tax that they're having to pay, they call the county commissioners?
Yeah very much so. I think that's something our new PIO is a Kate has picked up on fairly quickly, particularly when the tax bill goes out, you know, because we do the assessment, we set the value, obviously, and we send out the tax bill, mm-hmm. and it has Ada County at the top.
Right.
But I think there's 32 or 34 different taxing districts, cemetery districts, school districts, and on and on and on. And on that tax bill, it identifies all the different taxing districts, but for some reason they call Ada first, mm-hmm. and then we refer them. So.
Why do you guys need my 32 cents?
So we're a small part of the overall budget, but that's the way the system is laid out.
Hand washes hand. Most people don't realize all the stuff you guys do.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's been kind of an eye-opener for anybody. You know, I thought I knew a lot about the job a long time ago, and once you get in and you get involved, and a lot more to it, a lot more complicated than you would imagine.
I wanted to mention your web presence very quickly. Your website, adacounty.id.gov, and there are lots of things on there that you can learn about Ada County.
Yes, great information.
Mm-hmm. And then three different Facebook pages. We heard about the new one, Float the Boise River, but also there's an Ada County Facebook page and an Ada County Commissioners in particular.
Right.
And then tweets from Ada County coming from @Ada_County.
Right. And then I think you'll also hear from the other elected officials, Sheriff's Department, Prosecutor's Corner. You know, they're all
on Facebook.
You can
find them all on there, huh?
Right.
All right.
Plenty of information.
We've been talking with Ada County Commissioner Rick Izaguirre, KBOI News Time, 8:56.
If you're talking about it,
are you for the criminals or are you for the law-abiding Americans? That's a simple question.
We're talking about it.
If they'll just do what they were voted in to do.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning, KBOI News Time, 9:07. Our thanks to Rick Izaguirre. For being here this morning as our Ada County Commissioner. Big deal about Stairway to Heaven. And was Stairway to Heaven stolen from Taurus, a little-known song by a group called Spirit,
mm-hmm.
who played in Los Angeles. And we played this off the air the other day, and I went, poo-ho!
Yeah.
And here is Taurus by Spirit. And we can talk over it for a while, Chris.
Well, yeah, because there's...
Very long intro here.
What you're hearing right now, there's an awful lot of that. It goes on for a minute or so. But then when it starts into the guitar, really sounds a lot like Stairway to Heaven.
You think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the two groups hung out together, apparently, in Los Angeles.
Yeah, they toured together.
Back in the day. And most of the guys in Spirit are dead now, right?
Well, yeah. The drummer, Ed Cassidy, died a couple of years ago. And the lead, Randy California... was vacationing in Hawaii when he was in his 50s, and he drowned.
Yeah.
And so it's actually the state of, or the estate of Randy California. Yeah, the state of California suing Led Zeppelin. Here we go.
All right, we'll let you figure out if you think it was stolen or not.
Thank you.
we've gone by it, right? Have we gone by it yet?
Yeah. That's,
and it was very
similar.
Exact. and so I'll give Led Zeppelin a break on the fact that, you know, you hear something and then you're dinking around in your guitar like 4 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And you go.
And you play something and you think,
you play something. This sounds pretty good.
Say, that's good.
Have I heard that before? I don't think so. So I don't know. But they stole it. Come on.
Well, it's possible, as you said, it's possible to write a song and not realize that you're incorporating something that you've actually heard before. I keep mentioning George Harrison. You know, he had a number one hit with My Sweet Lord.
Which I, you know.
And the Chiffons said, hey.
He's so fine.
He's so fine is the exact same song.
Got to be mine.
And George Harrison didn't think so. And then he played them back to back. And he says, wow, that is similar. And he had to pay them quite a bit of money.
Yeah, he did. What he did was change the tempo a little bit. And I never thought they sounded the same. But I'll give you this. I never played them back to back, and which does make a difference. And if you played these two back to back,
there are similar chords in lots of stuff, like the Pachelbel Canon, which, you know, one of the most famous classical pieces. In it, if you can actually sing More Than a Feeling by Boston to the music,
because
it's the same chords.
Well, and then the world famous. What was the one? La Bamba and. Da, 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 la, bam, bam. And then, Twist and Shout.
Oh.
Same song.
Da, da,
exactly
da, da, la, bamba.
The same song.
Twist and Shout. Yeah, pretty
Shake
close.
It up, baby. Da, 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 la, bam, bam.
Well, and then some of
same
them.
Same song.
Some of them were on purpose. Like, for instance, Surfin' USA was originally Chuck Berry's song.
Right.
But,
they gave him credit. Though.
Yeah, they gave him credit. He just didn't write it about surfing.
No. So, anyway. Led Zeppelin.
Sweet Little 16, that was his song.
Yeah, pay up. So,
they probably will have to.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break. We'll be back, talk about more important things, although probably not as...
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 1, listen to Savage on 670 KBOI.
KBOI rewards code, STOMP, S-T-O-M-P, STOMP. Go to the country stop. You can still get tickets up until what time does it start?
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock. Up until 5 o'clock at Jackson's. Stop, pick up a ticket, go to country stop. A lot of cool country artists are out there playing for your pleasure. It's going to be nice tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Just perfect weather for a concert. Exactly. A new national poll shows Hillary Clinton carrying a 6-point lead over Donald Trump with both presidential primaries now in the rearview mirror, though both major party presumptive nominees remain challenged. Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm.
By controversies weighing on their campaigns.
Some Democrats would rather have Bernie Sanders, and some Republicans would rather have practically anyone.
Anyone, yeah. According to a CBS poll released this morning. Now, we had a poll released yesterday. I can't remember. Was it Pew? I think it was Pew who did it. And it was 12 points mm-hmm. lead for Clinton. Not now. Clinton leads Trump 43% to 37%. Numbers down significantly for both candidates from a couple of months ago.
So that leaves 20% undecided?
Yeah, and the last CBS poll, it was 50 and 40. So 10% were undecided then. And now, as you said, 20%.
Well, you know, according to that, a lot of people are changing their minds.
Clinton's advantage remains when Libertarian presidential nominee Gary Johnson is included in the scenario. Clinton has 39% to 32 for Trump, 11% for Johnson. Does that surprise you?
Not really. He, again, a lot of people are looking for that alternative.
Yeah.
And he...
They're looking the for Libertarian, none of the above.
The Libertarian Party definitely is an alternative.
Yeah.
But I watched something the other night about the Libertarian convention, because they already did have their convention. They got together and apparently there are at least 300-400 interpretations within the Libertarian Party of what it means to be a libertarian.
Yeah, yeah. And we've argued that on this show.
Yeah.
The latest CBS poll, which was mostly conducted before the Orlando terror attack, also asked voters on their view of candidates' ability to manage terrorism and national security. Clinton received the edge on this issue with 50% saying she would do a better job than Trump at 43%. And Trump, with his statements, no condolences, I told you this was going to happen statement, they really hurt him, I think, in recent days.
On her resume, she has been a diplomat. You know, she was Secretary of State.
Yeah.
Before that, First Lady. On his resume, he doesn't practice diplomacy at all.
No, nobody has called him a diplomat. Voters expressed significant disapproval of Clinton's use of a private email server and Trump's ethnicity-based attacks on a federal judge overseeing the Trump University lawsuit.
Of course,
that's all kind of in the rear view now.
The other day after the shooting, Hillary Clinton said that if you're under investigation, that you shouldn't be able to purchase a weapon. And somebody asked her, should you be able to run for president?
Because she is under investigation. And her answer was?
I think she ignored it.
Look at the time. Oh, we're a little late, folks.
Whoop, I got a thing.
2/3 of the voters said they think Clinton did something wrong in using a personal email server while Secretary of State, though opinions are sharply divided along party lines. 7 in 10 voters said Trump's comments about Trump University judge were offensive. He was just getting started then. And 42% think Trump either did something improper or illegal related to the now-defunct program.
Or so, related to his...
Probably stabbed or shot.
Billions of dollars.
Yeah. Voters favored Clinton on handling an international crisis, say she is prepared for the job of president, while Trump got high marks on saying what he believes. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Both candidates are viewed as dishonest and face questions about their judgment. This poll was conducted June 9th through June 13th among 1,230 adults nationwide, including 1,048 registered voters, plus or minus 3-point margin of error.
I kind of agree with that, that they both have kind of a problem.
Major holes in them?
His are mostly that he'll say things just off the cuff that sometimes are, you know, things that are general knowledge, but they're not true.
Yeah.
You know, most people think that, but it isn't true. And I don't know, Hillary just kind of seems to sidestep everything.
Yeah. Hillary keeps saying, what happened in the past doesn't matter, it's what's going to happen in the future. We need to look to the future, which means, oops, I have problems in my past. And Trump, what was it the other day? And I apologize for this. I can't remember what. He got something off a marginal website and espoused it as the gospel truth when it wasn't true. And what the heck was it? I guess I shouldn't have brought it up.
Over time, it could probably have been a variety of things.
Yeah. But anyway, I can't remember. But he was roundly chastised for that. And it made such an impression on me, I can't remember it. So, anyway. So Clinton, apparently with the lead at this point in time.
But there's still time to go.
Lots of time to go.
I mean, we're still 5 months away from the election.
The president and vice president both headed for Orlando as we speak. Orlando's going, please don't anything happen. Please don't anything happen.
Well, yeah, they've had, Orlando has had 3 major news events in the past week, and none of them were positive at all.
5 days apart. And David Allen made a good point here. He has not called the governor of the state of Florida, who may or may not be a Republican.
Rick Scott?
Yeah. So that's kind of odd, isn't it?
Well, the Democratic mayor of Orlando, but not the Republican mayor of Florida.
The Democratic mayor of Orlando received the call. The Republican governor did not. When they had tragedy in New Jersey, of course, he met up with Chris Christie, and they had that big hug on the beach like Burt Lancaster and what's her name and From Here to Eternity.
Deborah Carr.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't quite the same. They didn't roll across the sand into the surf, but
it was just as every bit as maybe that's why he didn't do it, because Rowley chastised
exactly
hugging a member of the other party.
Well, and yeah, that's what kind of gets me. There was a time when it didn't matter whether you were a Democrat or a Republican, everybody kind of had similar goals. And I think now it doesn't matter what goals you have. Everybody just wants to win. Whatever one side says, say something else and try to win. Now,
a lot of truth to that.
I will say this. When you watch Donald Trump give a speech or, you know, answer questions or whatever he's doing, it looks like he's just trying to win. Whether he gets everything right or not remains to be seen. But he is going to try to say whatever will get him elected, because he's used to winning. Billionaires are used to winning.
Yeah, they are. How about that 15-hour-long filibuster on the Senate floor, which ended early this morning, part of an effort to force a vote on gun control legislation following Sunday's terror attack in Orlando?
Mm-hmm.
Chris Murphy, a Democrat from Connecticut, yielded the floor at 2:11 a.m., 14 hours and 50 minutes after he began speaking. He kept up his filibuster to a mostly empty chamber, save for 38 Democratic senators who had joined him and made their own speeches throughout the day. Two Republican senators, Ben Sasse of Nebraska, Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania, also made remarks. Democrats are, of course, seeking a vote on two amendments to an underlying spending bill. One proposed by Murphy would expand background checks. The other, by Senator Dianne Feinstein of California, would let the government bar sales of guns and explosives to people who are suspected of being terrorists.
See, now that starts
that's un-American.
Yeah, that's against the Constitution.
Yeah, if you're suspected of something, you're not convicted.
Everybody's suspected of something.
Right. KBOI News Time, 9:26.
Good morning. I'm Rick Worthington. Well, after an Amber Alert was issued for three Idaho kids, Caldwell police say they have still yet to confirm any sightings or tips. Confirm them, at least. KBOI 2 TV reports detectives say they have received tips from Nevada, California, Oregon, Washington, but they haven't been able to confirm them. Police are looking for 10-year-old Lewis Dunn, 9-year-old Kaylee Dunn, and 6-year-old Caden Simpson. Or Simon, excuse me. The kids are believed to be with Jason Travis Simon, who's wanted for sexual abuse of a child and child porn. Sarah Van Ocker Dunn, Simon's girlfriend, she's wanted for kidnapping by custodial interference. They were reportedly seen in Sparks, Nevada on Sunday, but again, it's not confirmed. If you have any information on that, you're asked to call police immediately. Pride Week festivities continue right here in Boise throughout the week. KBOI 2 TV's Brent Hunsaker explains, you might see the Capitol building lit up in various colors at night this weekend.
We've seen the Idaho State House lit up in purple for autism, red to promote giving blood, but lighted up in rainbow colors for Pride Week, Robert Geddes from the state's administration department says, can't be done.
We really don't have the capability with the lighting system that we have to make a rainbow on the Capitol.
So Pride Week organizer Rodney Busby says they'll have to do it themselves, and it will be costly.
$9,000. I was a little bit shocked when I got the bill.
That's not just for the lights, but also generators and even security. Brent Hunsaker, KBOI 2 News, for 670 KBOI.
Federal court has upheld the FCC's decision to treat the Internet like a utility. That's a victory for consumers, according to advocates for net neutrality. Marty Newell, a member of the Rural Broadband Policy Group, he says the court ruling is part of the march to treating broadband the same as you would treat any other utility, like telephone service, for instance.
It's not optional. It's not a luxury. There was a time when Internet access might have been considered a luxury, but it's not now. That time has passed. It's a necessity in the same way that we looked at telephone once upon a time.
Now, the cable and telecom industries and their allies have argued that the FCC's rule is overreaching and it will stifle investment and customer choice. Newell and other advocates say web users need more protections from those providers. An Idaho teen arrested for stabbing a woman at a rest stop in Oregon has now been transferred to an adult prison. KBOI 2 TV reports Talon Davis, who just turned 18, is also scheduled to have a hearing on Thursday. That's today. Davis, who is from Lewiston, by the way, arrested last month for allegedly stabbing a 51-year-old woman in the lower back after leaving a restroom stall. The woman lived, by the way. Dave is charged, though, with assault and unlawful use of a weapon. A Napa man accused of killing and dismembering two of his friends has now pleaded guilty as part of a plea deal. 670 KBOI's Caitlin Bloom reports.
The Idaho Statesman reports 47-year-old Michael Dauber was originally charged with first-degree murder for the deaths of Joshua Reddington and Stephen Calagarecos. Both of their bodies were found years after they went missing. Dauber entered an Alford plea, meaning he knows prosecutors have enough evidence to convict him, but he does not admit guilt. He pleaded guilty to second-degree murder for both deaths. Dauber will be sentenced in October. Prosecutors are seeking 17 years to life for both cases. Caitlin Bloom, 670 KBOI. News.
Live from the Sandler Training Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 3, listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time 936, Paul, Jay, and Chris. On a Thursday morning, home phone's Friday coming up tomorrow. Story that you did earlier this morning, touched on it. This one's a little bit different.
Okay.
The fact that people are saying Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, Craigslist, whatever you name, are responsible for the rapid growth of ISIS because it gives them, or they give them, a platform to spread their poison.
Now, the story I had this morning involved the attacks in Paris last November.
Correct.
There was only one American killed in the attacks, and it was a woman. And her father is suing Facebook and Twitter and Google.
And Google, and, that was it.
And Google, it's because they own
Twitter.
No, YouTube.
YouTube, yeah, that's right. YouTube is it.
And, you know, his point is that none of this stuff would be happening. These guys wouldn't be nearly as strong as they are if they didn't have these, you know, these media, these venues. And I think the only defense of that is going to be, you know, free speech. And we don't censor something unless it's egregious. And we don't necessarily censor anything right away because we don't have the personnel to read every single tweet. But
true.
You know, and they kind of pride themselves on not censoring very much.
Yeah, and basically their whole deal is
but as I said,
it's basically a free expression.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm sure they'd find some other way to communicate. But as I said, this kind of is a little bit like, you know, getting a letter you don't like and then suing the mailman.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's the one that got it to you, but he's not the one that composed it.
Yeah, okay, so the guy in the nightclub with his victims lying dead or wounded around him took to Facebook, pledged his loyalty to ISIS, threatened more attacks on the civilized world.
Mm-hmm.
A key lawmaker privy to the gunman's posts told Fox News yesterday. The 29-year-old radicalized Muslim broadcast his twisted message of hate on social media. I pledge my allegiance to ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. May Allah accept me, Mateen wrote on one post early Sunday morning. The real Muslims will never accept the filthy ways of the West. You kill innocent women and children by doing us airstrikes. Now taste the Islamic State vengeance. Mateen's social media accounts were taken down before they could be widely viewed by the public, but Johnson's committee investigators have uncovered some or all of them. The senator also has written a letter to Facebook executives expressing concern about Mateen's postings and asking for more information on his activities. Now, this kind of touches on what the lawsuit is about. Does Facebook have any responsibility for just...
It's the same argument that if you use any tool to kill someone...
Yeah.
That the dead person's family should sue the company that made the tool, you know, and that goes for gun companies, but it would also go for hammers or sledgehammers or anything like that.
Or if you,
people don't tend.
I called you and we had a deal going. If certain things happened, you would have a mass murder, whatever, Yeah. If I called you on the phone and said, it's happening, go ahead, could you sue the phone company? It's the same thing, right?
Well, pretty
because
much.
Because it was a tool that I used to get to you to do your damage.
Exactly. I mean, in the old days, you could have sued the Bell telephone, and you could have sued the U.S. Postal Service or anybody that served as a medium for news of any kind.
Yeah. As survivors cowered in darkened rooms, praying and texting police and relatives, Mateen assessed his Facebook account to search for media reports using search words such as Pulse Orlando shooting.
Mm-hmm.
An FBI source told Fox News he also made 16 phone calls after the spree began. Investigators are tracking down each of the recipients. Kept proclaiming his hatred for Westerners. America and Russia stopped bombing the Islamic State. In his final post, he made an ominous prediction. In the next few days, you will see attacks from the Islamic State in the USA.
What that shows me, the fact that he was even bothering to check Facebook or anything, or to check the internet for mentions of him, indicates to me that he may have had several reasons that he was there. He may have been homophobic. He may have just wanted to do this in the name of jihad. One of his biggest reasons was he sure wanted attention.
Yeah, and well,
because when you check,
when you look at the selfies, sick.
Well, when you check to see how much attention you're getting, it's kind of clear that what you're looking for is attention.
Yeah. Well, he got it. What do you think of, and again, I kind of blame the TV people for posting all of those posed selfies that he took, mm-hmm. never with anyone else in the picture, always just himself going, hey, holding his fingers to his chin. And
well, I don't think they're actually allowed to put up pictures of a murderer and all of his friends. I think that
can cover the faces.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. They could have done that.
Yeah. I think you just encourage this kind of stuff when idiots look on the TV and say, look at all the guy's on every channel,
mm-hmm.
all those pictures. Look at that.
Well, see, like you and I would go, wow, our picture's going to be in every paper and magazine. Of course, we'll be dead, so there's a downside. And he doesn't seem to care about that.
No.
We would.
Yeah. I don't know. We're going to find out so much more about this story.
Can you be safe from someone who doesn't care about their own personal safety at all?
No. Not at all. Not at all. And people say, well, you can be safe by carrying a gun. No, because you're not. If somebody wants to shoot you, you could have 50 guns on you. And if you're not expecting the attack, he'll shoot you.
Before September 11th. Hijackers used to land planes and then demand things.
Yeah.
And my guess is a lot of the people that knew the planes were being hijacked, that were on the planes, probably were just waiting for them to land someplace and start the negotiation. Probably thought they'd end up in Cuba.
Well, yeah, and that was the first where
back in the 70s, that's what people used to do.
Where electronics were used to spread the word.
Yeah.
People were on their cell phones going, we've been hijacked, et cetera, et cetera. And what was the famous roll on?
Let's roll.
Yeah. And when they got the guy and crashed it in the field in Pennsylvania. But it's amazing. It's amazing now. I mean, now we're seeing pictures of people crouching and hiding. When guys are taking these pictures when they could be trying to disarm this guy. I don't get it.
Well, it's like that old argument about whoever the guy is that's shooting all those commercials about the starving children in Africa. Why don't you just give one of them a sandwich?
Donald Trump just said to GOP leaders, be quiet or I'll work by myself.
Kind of has been his attitude all year, hasn't it?
9:45. All right, we are back. Headlines that you'll hear soon. Ryan, that the last thing is we want is a Democrat in the White House, and I have agreed to disagree with Donald Trump running for president, but I have no plan to withdraw my support. So
that's what he says.
Yeah, and meanwhile, Trump's saying, "Don't talk, be quiet." If you don't be quiet, I'll work by myself.
I've got some instant messages here. Dave of Boise says, all these polls and the somewhat dubious origin of the people supposedly taking these polls,
yeah, follow the money,
are very convenient. Mm-hmm. Like the gun thing, it's not the gun killing the people, it's the people killing people. How come the ammunition is not being discussed? That's what is doing the actual killing, and I would bet this last guy was using FMJ NATO ammo, which is designed to kill and wound as many as possible with each individual round fired. I bet a lot of the people hit but not killed were struck by pass-through shots fired. It's a possibility. Mm-hmm. Yet the big rush is to take control of our firearms, which we all know, as history dictates, once the government gets that first little chip to get a handhold, the next thing you know, no more guns for Americans. Why can't police and civilians alike use rubber non-lethal bullets? How's that for a solution?
Because the people who want to kill will use the real bullets. I mean, you can't say, okay, Mr. Mateen, we're going to give you some rubber bullets so when you shoot up that nightclub,
you'll
only kill 10.
Well, don't bring real bullets. That's not fair.
Yeah, so that's not going to work. AR-15s, what in the world do we need them for? But will taking those away work? Probably not, because there are so many of them out there already. It would amp up the black market. It would, like they always say, if they take away our guns, only criminals will have guns. There's some truth to that. And AR-15s, I find no use. And I know people call, they're great sporting guns to take out and target shoot. With, I've shoot a target 50 times in a minute. I don't see any use for them. A lot of people say we're keeping them because we are the militia. Fine if you feel that way, but personally, I see no use. And the cost of ammunition, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You're going to go out and shoot 600, 700, 800 rounds with your AR-15 for sport?
You make a good point, though. There are people.
I don't get it.
There are people who interpret the Constitution as saying that if you are a citizen of any state, then you are part of that state's militia, especially in case of foreign attack or something.
Exactly.
And so they said,
foreigners are crazy enough to attack us.
This is the civilian version of the M16, which they carry in the military. So why not be able to have an AR-15?
Let me retract that. The foreigners who are crazy enough to attack us do it like this Mateen guy did. Lone wolves.
Yeah.
And his wife drives me crazy. She knew he was going to do it. She tried to talk him out of it, and when he left the house, she goes, oh, well.
The sad part to me, I mean, this is probably going to sound a little facetious, but it's not. He went to a bar in Orlando, and nobody fired back. Because nobody had a gun. If he had gone to a bar in Brooklyn, the body count would have been much smaller, I'm thinking.
Well, I don't want to sound homophobic or anything, and I'm not trying to be homophobic. Are gays less violent? Has there been a study? Are gays less violent? Are gays less likely to have weapons? Are gays more soft targets?
I really have no
idea. These are all questions. And if this guy frequented this club, which apparently he did for 3 years, he would know all that.
Do you think he frequented the clubs just to case them? Just to prepare for last Saturday night?
No, I think he was struggling with who he was and what his sexual preference was. I think he was struggling with all that. He had a very strong father figure whose religion strictly forbade any homosexual activities, which puts a lot of pressure on the kid. I think he may have said, ISIS forced me to do that, but that wasn't the only reason he was in that nightclub. That's my opinion, and it's just an opinion. So what do you think, Chris?
I don't know. I mean... If I was smart, I'd have said that. Obviously, it required a lot of planning because he didn't, he was from Port St. Lucie, and he didn't just go to a bar there, and they have bars there.
We're saying
he could have gone to any bar just about anywhere, and he went to a specific place in Orlando that he had targeted, that he had been to.
Listen to this headline. a gun shop reported the shooter was reported to officials before the attack. The gunman spoke in a foreign language on a cell phone in the store buying guns.
That's all they reported?
Yeah. But still, in black and white, he didn't break a law.
Oh, true.
But they reported him to the officials. What can the officials do there?
They probably made a note of it. There you go.
Yeah.
But see, and that's part of the thing that was kind of the smart part of the plan for him.
Then he came back and looked for body armor.
Had he purchased these kinds of weapons a couple of months ago, somebody might have been alerted to it and investigated why he had them.
He bought it 10 days ago, 10 days before the shooting.
Yeah.
Came back to buy body armor. Still, he didn't break any laws, I guess. Open phones Friday, tomorrow to discuss this and more. Something to think about with Mike Rogers is next.